This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning. Shavua Tov, how are you?
Boker Tov, Shavua Tov. We've also had our fair share, maybe not quite a storm as impressive as yours, but some rain anyway, which is always welcome at this time of year. We've really had some quite unseasonably warm weather, an Indian summer. It's been incredibly warm over the last few weeks. We have had rain a little yesterday and today, some short, sharp showers, quite heavy at times. Unfortunately, that's not going to break the drought, though. So we are hoping for more rain, but we understand that we're going sort of back into summery weather for the rest of this week. So that seems to be the end of that. I do want to start this week with some really good news and completely unrelated to anything that we've spoken about up until now. And it's just three examples of Israeli medical technology, three breakthroughs in recent weeks, which have kind of gone under the radar because, unfortunately, the noise of the war seems to drown out anything else. But I just wanted to make listeners aware of three incredible stories. First of all, a first-of-its-kind artificial cornea transplant that was recently successfully performed at an Israeli hospital, actually at the Kaplan Center. And this was performed on a patient who had previously had human cornea transplants unsuccessfully. And this time around, it's an artificial cornea, which obviously means that there's no limit in terms of how many of these corneas can be produced. And it has certain qualities about it which are different from human cornea, which make it easier to transplant. So that's just one incredible story. The next incredible story is about a lab-grown human spinal cord that an Israeli biotech firm has produced to allow patients who have paralysis to be able to walk again. And there have been some successful trials in animals that have already been conducted. And the Ministry of Health has approved trial for up to 8 patients, with the first surgery due to take place in Israel quite soon. The third thing that I wanted to mention was cartilage transplant that an Israeli company has developed a certain product which helps to regenerate cartilage and bone in the knee and indeed in other joints. It's made of aragonite mineral, and it's surgically placed in the damaged area to promote natural regrowth of bone and cartilage over time. This is something that's been going on already for some years, but we've had a recent breakthrough in allowing this to go to the next stage. And potentially in the future, it means the end of knee replacement surgeries and similar ones, because we have this surgery which helps the bone and the cartilage to regenerate on its own. I think that those are all quite incredible.
They're absolutely amazing. It'll be, obviously we need to see how practical and how they translate, but it's unbelievable. And of course, the big thing here is that, as you mentioned, the war somehow has narrowed the perception down and the of Israel and all that Israel is viewed at and has been over the last couple of years is this nation at war. Obviously that is very, very dangerous for a country as well. Let's talk about this issue that the Prime Minister has formally submitted a request to the President for pardon on his corruption charges. How likely is this to succeed?
Wow, so this has become as a huge surprise last night when the Prime Minister formally submitted this application to the President for the pardon on his corruption charges. And he came out with a video trying to explain why it is that he's taken the step. And when you start to read through the small print of the thousands of pages, not thousands, but hundreds of pages of the application that was submitted to the President, you'll read there a lot about why the Prime Minister thinks he is almost the exclusive person who can lead Israel through this tough t time. He speaks about his achievements on the political and on the security front, confronting Iran and taking care of Gaza and all of those things. And all of this apparently is relevant and important for consideration when the president considers this pardon application. The one little piece of information, which I think is going to be absolutely critical in all of this, is that the Israeli law doesn't allow granting of pardons to people who are not already convicted of some sort of a crime. The law, I think, even talks about the word avarian, which can be loosely translated to criminal or per someone who's transgressed. And the law doesn't allow the president to pardon anybody who is not a transgressor. And the prime minister, even though he's been going through a trial for the past 5 years, has not been found guilty of any of the charges. He has four or five different cases going on against him, all involving corruption of one type or another. Some of those cases have started to look very dodgy in terms of the ability of the prosecution to make the charges stick. And on the basis of that, there are many people in the public who have the impression that the Prime Minister may well easily be able to escape because some of those cases have looked like and they've sort of degenerated as the evidence has been led. The issue is that there are still one or two cases where the accusations are very much sticking and they are not unraveling. And I think that that is the Prime Minister's concern, that even one of these cases that ultimately sticks and that he is found to be guilty of corruption charges of one sort or another may well be damaging for him. And I think that that's the reason why he's decided to preempt the guilty verdict by asking for a pardon even ahead of being found guilty. The problem is that if you are granted a pardon without being found guilty, then what exactly are you being pardoned for? And how does that potentially affect future behavior? There's so many different questions that need to be answered in all of this, many of them legal. Interestingly, by the way, in the document that the Prime Minister has submitted, he also uses the case of former US President Richard Nixon, who apparently, according to the document, was granted a pardon even before he was found guilty. And I'm not sure whether I would be wanting to compare myself to
No.
Nixon in any way, shape, or form. I'm not sure that he is the ultimate character that you want to compare yourself to. He certainly is notorious and has gone down as someone notorious in history. This is all very fascinating. It's certainly one of the biggest decisions that President Herzog will have had to face during the term of his presidency. Prime Minister Netanyahu thinks that he's deserving of a pardon to allow him continue to run the country, to free him up of the burden of having to go through the trials. And he claims that these trials are causing the internal fabric of Israel to be in conflict. And he feels that by granting him a pardon, that internal conflict may in some way be treated, may be resolved. I'm not sure that that's necessarily the case, but I have little doubt that you guys will have your views on this.
Yeah, it is. It is so complex. The problem is that it's hard to know what is just political pressure and what is valid, because we had a guest earlier that said if he's guilty, well then he shouldn't be running the country or standing for the next election, and then he gets a pardon based on that. So it seems to me that it just could be another way to pressurize him to step down. And I'm not a fan of his particularly at all, but the political pressure around this makes me a little bit skeptical.
There is a question about what legal precedent this may bring for the law in Israel. And ironically, when the prime minister was originally charged, he said there's no reason for him to step down as prime minister while fighting these cases because he can manage to do both. Now he's arguing in this pardon application that he's finding it difficult to do both. And that's why he thinks he should be given a pardon to allow him to free himself up to run the country. So there are certain inconsistencies in what he's presented himself. And there is also the question of what he has to give in return, because generally speaking, when these plea bargains or pardons come around, there is usually a price that needs to be paid. You are found guilty, but we pardon the sentence that you have to serve, or whatever it is. There's usually some sort of a price that needs to be paid, and I have no idea what price the Prime Minister may wish to pay. Just an interesting last comment on that, and this is that former Prime Minister Naftali Bennett has stood up and said something very interesting. He said that he would be willing to grant Netanyahu a pardon on condition that he steps away from political life.
Well, that's kind of my point. It's the same thing as people could argue that the trial is about. Is it about discrediting him politically, and therefore that they would have dropped this trial a long time ago had he stepped down? And we did get that sense in the past. So now it's almost the same thing, just further on in the process. So I don't know. I am a little skeptical about the whole thing. And that's not as a Netanyahu supporter or fan. I think he should be stepping away from politics and allowing succession and allowing the country to move forward with other leadership. But it still doesn't mean that this is how, that this is how it should be played. But again, let us know what you think. 0618951019. I want to talk about this. A number of IDF soldiers have been injured, some seriously, in an operation in Syria. What happened here? What were the operation's objectives?
Well, a number of reserve soldiers were sent approximately 10 kilometers from Israel's border into Syria in order to carry out a very targeted attack on terrorists who we are told were planning an attack against Israel. And the terrorists involved were a pair of brothers who lived in this house approximately 10 kilometers from Israel's border in a Syrian town called Beit Jin. And the battalion of reserve soldiers were sent to attack them. Now, they carried out the attack. They even managed to arrest the two individuals who were the main target of the attack. And then on their way out of this particular operation, they were suddenly set upon unexpectedly by a group. We're not exactly sure who they were, but people who obviously had got wind of the IDF operation. And in the process of the exchange of fire, a number of IDF soldiers were quite seriously injured. The helicopters from the Israeli Air Force had to be brought in order to help. Drones were brought in to help. Ultimately, the injured soldiers were brought to Haifa's Rambam Hospital for treatment. Here is the really interesting part of the injuries that were sustained by some of those soldiers. One soldier in particular took a bullet to the heart. The bullet actually penetrated between the chambers of his heart and is lodged in his heart. And when the surgeons opened him up and had a look to see what the situation was, they interestingly have taken the decision to leave the bullet in the heart and not to remove it from there. They've decided to leave it in place for now. They've said that they may need to operate again to remove the bullet from the heart. But for now, at least, the medical advice is leave that bullet where it is lodged in the heart, which I think is a very, very fascinating situation, and one which I hope will ultimately bear fruits. By the way, I did see another picture which showed, which purported to show the helmet of one of the soldiers who'd been involved in that operation. And in the picture, one could see a bullet that had been lodged in the helmet and had gone sort of almost all the way through the helmet, but not quite. The helmet caught the bullet. The bullet was still undetonated, lodged in the helmet. And the individual who was wearing that helmet simply took his helmet off and found the bullet lodged right in the helmet, pointing right towards his head, where certainly it would have injured him and potentially killed him had it not been for that helmet. So the soldier who, by the way, took the bullet in the heart also was wearing a chest protection. And those who have been involved in making donations to IDF soldiers over the last few years, because I know there have been a number of campaigns asking for equipment to help our IDF soldiers stay safe. And many people have made donations for helmets and for chest protection, vests and things like that. Your donations are saving lives. There can be little doubt about that, because here we have two examples of people who undoubtedly would have been killed were it not for the protection that they were wearing. And of course, there is, of course, much to be said about a greater force at play here, and that it's just miraculous that these two soldiers, even though badly injured, have managed to come out of this alive.
That is where we leave it. Ansan says, Israel is at war. Country at war needs a wartime prime minister other than Netanyahu, who meets that criterion. That is a question from one of our listeners. It is 8 o'clock. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. We'll catch Anthony tomorrow morning, 7:45, for the Israel Report.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.